I want to begin with a question this morning. How many of you today know someone who is hurting? Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a loss. Maybe it's a disappointment, a fear, an anxiety. Well, this passage is very much for you. But if you don't know someone who's hurting, it's even more for you. Because there is a world around us of people who are hurting, who have experienced loss, who are going through the middle of some terrible circumstances in their lives. And in our passage this morning that was read, we find Jesus and his disciples are ready to engage in some serious and demanding ministry to those who are hurting. And they disembark from this place called Gennesaret. And it says that they go to, when they arrive at Gennesaret, that it's a beautiful land. In fact, it's known as the Paradise of Galilee. It was a beautiful land, yet there were people hurting everywhere. Just like the United States. We have a beautiful country, great wealth in this country. We have wealth like the world has never known all throughout history in this country. But yet there is tremendous hurting. From the poorest ghetto to the wealthiest gated community, people are hurting all around us. So we better get ready. The world is hurting, our families are hurting, our neighbors are hurting. And every day you and I face a crowd of people who are hurting around us. Some of you have people in your lives that are dealing with serious emotional issues or disorders. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's a mental disorder. There are others who are dealing with drug abuse or alcohol abuse in our families or anger issues. Some of you are caring for people with chronic physical health issues. And for this reason, the scriptures tell us over and over to get ready, to be ready, to be ready at all times. Paul says to the Christians in Corinth, watch, stand fast in your faith, and be strong, be brave. The biblical word for watch there also is awake. It means awake. Jesus is telling us, wake up. Be awake to the world around you, to the people around you. Being awake is a powerful thing for God's people. In fact, it's very akin to, if you know anything about basketball or have played basketball before, in fact, I just happen to have a basketball here. Wouldn't you know it? And I brought the tennis shoes, too. That's why I'm wearing tennis shoes today. In basketball, there's something known as the triple threat stance. You learn it very early when you play basketball. In fact, is there anybody here who has never played basketball or at least played any where they received any kind of coaching or anything? Be careful because you're volunteering if you raise your hand. Now, come on. I need one person. Otherwise, Michelle will have to come up and she'll be mad at me the rest of the day. I'll even come down here. This is not going to work unless I have a volunteer. Here comes Bob. All right, thank you, Bob. Bob's probably like an All-American, and he's just, he's hustling me. All right. There's something in basketball called the triple threat stance. And I'm actually going to show Bob what that is. I coached a little basketball.
I didn't play it. Go ahead.
Well, they were all about this tall. Yeah. That's who I coached.
All right. Yeah. I was that way once.
A long time ago. I want you to stand right here and face the crowd. And the triple threat stance, there's three things you can do when you get into the triple threat stance. You can dribble.
Or what?
Or shoot. There you go. That's the three things.
Okay.
But to get there, there's a particular way to get to those three things, there's a starting point, a launching point. Uh-huh. And you put, are you right-handed?
No, left.
Left. Yeah, no, this is going to make it. This is going to make it really confusing for me. All right, put your left foot out.
Let's go to the right foot.
No, you're fine. Put your left foot out for just a little bit in the front.
All right.
Kind of square your legs, shoulder wide.
All right.
And this is where it's going to get a little confusing for me. And you want to bend your legs just a little, not all the way down, but so you can kind of bounce on them. Okay. Now, right from that position, right there, you can either dribble low, because you want to keep the ball low, otherwise somebody can steal it. You can also pass low, right? Because you're here and you can pass low. You have a bounce pass, yeah, or you can go high, okay. But the ball's low. And from here you can also spring to shoot, right, to get above your competitor. So that's the triple threat stance. And it's the hardest thing in the world to teach five-year-olds to stay in the triple threat stance. You wouldn't believe how hard that is. Now, you seem like you've got it.
No, I'm doing well at this age, too. But I'll try.
Right.
I'll try.
Because if you're up here and you try to pass it, there's a lot of bounce pass is the best pass you can make in basketball, because it's hard to get down and reach it, the right. defense. So, but if you're passing from up here, you got a lot of ground to cover, or a lot of air to cover.
Right.
So you're down here. Of course, if you're up here and you're shooting, you can't jump very high. But if you're down here, you can spring. And if you're here, you can dribble. Or if you dribble from up here, there's a lot of space here. Right. So tomorrow we're going to run killers. So get rested up. All right.
Always rested.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. So wakefulness. Thank you so much, Bob. Wakefulness is what I want to call the triple threat position as Christians. And we find, and Mark does this very very adeptly. It doesn't jump out at you, but when you read this passage over a few times, you realize, and a thing about Mark is he does not waste his words. He didn't have a word processor when he wrote, when this was written down. So you had to be very intentional with your words. Every word counted. And so there's three things right up at the front of that story that we read from that I want to talk about in terms of the triple threat of being a Christian, the triple threat stance or position. One is they cross over. And then it says they land, or they moor. And we'll talk about that in a minute. M-O-O-R. And then they get out. So they cross over, they pause, and then they get out. And then the crowd start running to them. This triple threat position of wakefulness is so important for us as children of God. And we have to intentionally get our minds and our hearts into this state of wakefulness, so we're always finding ourselves in one of these three positions. First of all, let's talk a little bit about crossing over. That comes down to a willingness to be open to the Spirit of God. Always being in a responsive position to God that says, "Here I am, send me," like the prophet Isaiah said. Always being attuned to that. Whatever crowd that you're in front of, whether you're at Walmart, whether you're driving down the interstate, whether someone, as a friend of mine used to say, washes up on your shore, and there they are, "Lord, here I am, send me." That is an intentional spiritual position to put yourself in. And that crossing over indicates that, being willing, being active, being pliable, being flexible. You know, physically, we're told that we're supposed to move about at least 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. That's sort of the minimum if we're going to stay flexible and have stability and have some endurance and strong health. Spiritually, likewise, we have to keep moving. We have to keep moving in that willingness. "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me." The Christian life is active. It's not a sedentary exercise, the Christian life is. Jesus, have you noticed he's always passing through? A lot of the stories of Jesus, as Jesus was what? As Jesus was passing through. It doesn't say, as Jesus was mindlessly surfing the internet, or as Jesus was binging on YouTube videos, or as Jesus had become sedentary and settled in his ways. No, it says as Jesus was passing through, Jesus is on the move. It often begins with, "He entered into such and such town." In other words, he's about his Father's business. He said that from a very young age. They said, "Where you been, Jesus?" His parents said. He said, "Well, I've been about my father's business." We get into our father's business in mind and heart when we're willing to cross over. To cross over into that conversation with the person around us, to engage in that relationship that may be a little dicey, maybe a little uncomfortable, maybe mean some risk for us, but yet we're willing to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." We're to be about our Father's business. A lot of scriptures point to that. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." And Proverbs 10:5 says, "He who gathers crops in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son." And Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "Be very careful then how you live your life. Not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." So crossing over, being willing to get out of our comfort zone, out of the place that we're most comfortable with, and saying, "Lord, here I am, send me." That's a very, when we're in the Christian triple stance, wakefulness being that stance, one of the things we can do from that is be willing to be sent on a dime at any moment. But we've always got to be in that prayerful mindset. Lord, send me, send me. Getting ready to go into this conversation at work. Lord, here I am, send me. Getting ready to make that call to my relative who I'm having a squabble with. And Lord, here I am, use me. Use me in this moment. That's a very, very powerful place that we can be in our lives to work for Christ. So that's the first position. That's the first thing that can happen when we're in the spiritual triple threat position of wakefulness, of being awake to God's will for our life. The second thing says that in Mark says, before the crowds came toward them, it says they moored. The boat was right off the shore, and they sort of moored there for a moment. The Greek word there is prosomiso, which means to moor, to just you hook the boat up and you just sit there for a while. It actually comes from a root word in Greek, which means a lull or to rest calmly. Now that's very important for our spiritual lives, to purposefully rest. Purposefully rest in the Lord. As we move through each day as God's faithful, it's essential that we make room for periods of intentional rest and reflection in the Lord. In other words, you're not running around all the time with like a chicken with their head cut off and like a rat that just keeps going on the wheel and you never back up. And we can even do that as Christians. We can be on the go all the time doing this and doing that. And it just drains us. And before you know it, we've sort of turned our back on God and said, "Well, I don't need that." Because it just wears us down. It's important that if we're going to remain wakeful and watchful in the Spirit, we've got to take time for purposeful rest in our Christian life. The importance of rest is central to the biblical experience. The Sabbath is at the middle of Old Testament theology, and it comes into the New Testament theology with the Lord's Day. The Sabbath is a time of rest, a time of refueling our lives. In fact, when we rest, there's something that can happen in our lives that women will tell you, men, that you're not very good at, and that is listening. When we purposefully rest in the Lord, we learn to listen to the Lord. How do we know? You know, we can be ready to be sent all day long, but if we don't know where He's going to send us or what He wants us to do, that comes through listening, becomes available to us through purposeful rest. The most powerful, enduring command in the Old Testament for the Israelites was the Shema in Deuteronomy, and it was, "Hear, O Israel." That was the first command to the people of Israel. Hear, O Israel. It's learning to listen. It's learning to listen to the way of the Lord. Recovery is so important for our lives. When I was a young kid, I was going to the gym and just was going all the time, and I couldn't get any stronger. And finally, a wise person told me, "Well, how often are you going to the gym?" I said, "I'm going every day. I just can't get stronger, though." He said, "Well, okay. Here's the problem. You've got to take time to recover, because everything breaks down and it needs time to recover. And when it recovers more strong. It becomes more strong. The same is true in our spiritual life. If you're going all the time, if you're dealing with the crowds of the sick and the hurting all the time, and you never take a time for purposeful rest and reflection, you don't have time for recovery. And the beauty of taking time for personal rest and recovery is that periods of creativity follow times of reflection and prayer and listening. It happens. Take a break. Take five. The world will be there when you get back. The poor, the hurting will always be with us. Take five. Take a minute. It's crucial to your wakefulness to have a period of rest in your life. Genesis 3:3 says, "He rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Who is he? That's God. God rested from all the creating that he had done. If God needed a rest, what are you, Superman? Superwoman? We're told to rest and take periods of recovery. And the Lord promises us in Exodus 33:14, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." How many of you take purposeful time to rest? I'm not just saying at the end of the day where you plop down and you're exhausted and like in 5 seconds, you know, your mouth is wide open and you're snoring on the couch. How many of you take purposeful time to rest? Good. Amen. Do it. And let us keep doing that. What if I asked you right now, what if we just had an exercise, and I'm not going to do this, but what if we did? I said, I want us all just to take 5 minutes and close our eyes and relax. Some of you would probably be just so worn out that it wouldn't be 30 seconds and you'd be in a deep, like REM sleep. Your, you know, eyelids would be, because you're so tired, because you haven't taken time to rest. Others, and this is where my problem comes in, is, okay, I can do this, but I can't. Yeah, trying to turn it off. Trying to shut it down. Oh, I got to do this. I need to do that. I need to do that. A couple of years ago, I guess it's been 4 or 5 years ago now, I kind of sensed that about myself, that I was, you know, I got to find some way to purposefully rest. And so I saw over at St. Agnes Catholic Church in the Highlands that they were having a sort of a prayerful meditation training. I thought, this is for me. This is going to be great. And Joe Miller is the priest over there in that area of training. They call him Papa Joe. And Papa Joe told us, you know, we went through all the scriptures and all the things that, you know, the importance of doing this, and even taught us how to do it. And I thought, this is going to be great. And he said, and okay, now for 15 minutes, we're just going to sit here and do the things that we had learned. It felt like 2 hours to me, because I couldn't turn it off, because I had not been in the spiritual practice of learning to rest in the Lord. It takes time to do that. The first time you do, it may not be easy for you, but it is crucial that we take time to rest in the Lord, because in resting in the Lord, we learn to listen to the Lord. And when we listen to the Lord, that's when we get the instruction. That's when we get the wisdom. That's when we get a good word from the Lord. And we know how to be still and know that I am God, as the Lord said in Psalm 46:10. So, we first of all, in that triple threat stance of wakefulness, of being aware of the Spirit working in our lives, We have to cross over. We have to be willing. Here, Lord, here I am, send me. But we also have to have periods of rest where we moor at the edge of the lake. We know there's work to do. We know there's a crowd out there. There's needs. There's needs in our family, in our marriages, in our church, and whatever. But no, we're going to moor for a minute. And we're going to rest, and we're going to listen, and we're going to pray. And then finally, we do have to get out of the boat. Rudyard Kipling in the poem If, a beautiful, wonderful poem that's being forgotten now that we're in the 21st century. But he says something along the lines of, you know, think a lot, but don't let thinking become your primary aim. We can plan all day and we can have the best ideas and I'm going to do this and we never get off the couch. you got to get off out of the boat. And that means you got to take risk. And that's the third part. That's the third thing that happens when we're in the triple threat position. We're willing, we're prayed up, and now we're confident in the Lord that we can take a risk and that He will be with us when we get out of the boat. It's difficult to get out of the boat because in the boat there's security, right? We can always cut the rope and head the other way. But eventually we have to get out of the boat. That's necessary in our line of work as ambassadors of Christ. You know, when the angel came to the Virgin Mary and tells her that she will conceive and bear God's Son, it was a huge risk for her. But what's her response? She says, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your will." We don't always know what the future holds when we get out of the boat. But only those who take risk for the kingdom of God will see God's kingdom unfold in their own lives and in the lives of people around them. Let me say that again. Only those who take risk for the kingdom of God will see God's kingdom unfold in their own lives and in the lives of people around them. We have to be risk takers in the Lord. John Ortberg said famously, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And that's a faith exercise. That's a trust exercise that the Lord will be with me if I get out of the boat. It's important for us. But we also know this, that the Lord says to us that He'll be with us. We may fail, we may trip, there may be disappointments, we may get hurt, we make ourselves vulnerable, but yet the Lord will not abandon us, and He will be there to pick us up and say, let's get going. We still have work to do. And that happens in our family relationships. You know, you go in with the best of intentions, and you say something to a family member, and the whole thing just comes burning down. It's like, what happened? And the Lord says, and you just want to give up, but the Lord says, no, let's keep going. We got work to do. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you all of the days." Not most, not just the good days. The Lord says, "I am with you all of the days." So how do we practically do these things? How do we practically get our minds and hearts in a place where we're ready to be sent at any time? We're ready to cross over. And that we take time to purposefully reflect and rest and listen in the Lord, and then finally to get out of the boat. Wesley, fortunately, John Wesley gave us three, what are called his three general rules or his three simple rules. And I want to leave you with these as a practical thing to take with you, and that I will take with me this week, which we can employ every day to ensure that we keep in that triple threat stance of wakefulness. And this is what they were. You've heard them before if you're a lifelong Methodist. Do no harm, do good, and attend to the ordinances of God. Or for modern ears, that's sometimes translated, stay in love with God. Do no harm, do good, and attend to the ordinances of God. Do no harm. When you wake up today, when you wake up tomorrow, and you're going throughout your day, Make it your goal, make it your rule to do no harm. Wesley says, don't take the Lord's name in vain. He starts with that one. That's a pretty good one to start with. Because the Lord's the one that's going to carry you through. Don't be cursing him out. Avoid drunkenness. Don't gossip. I like what he says here. He says, don't sing songs or read books that don't keep you in love with God. Today you could probably maybe add movies and videos to that. Don't lay up treasures on earth, and don't self-indulge so much. So do no harm. This morning I'm going to wake up, tomorrow I'm going to wake up with the intention of doing no harm. Secondly, Wesley says, do good. Help others in their physical poverty by giving them food and clothing and by visiting the sick and those in prison. He also says, take care of each other's souls by offering Christian counsel and correcting each other when appropriate. Sometimes you don't feel like doing good, but Wesley says, do good nonetheless. It will get you in a position of waiting. And then finally, Wesley says, attend upon all the ordinance of God. Public worship, hearing the word proclaimed, the Lord's Supper, family and private prayer, searching the scriptures, fasting, all of these things. Wesley says they'll help you stay in love with God. So it's this triple stance position that we're called to be in. And it's this the stance of wakefulness. Paul says, wake up, you sleepers. I love saying that sermon about, or that scripture about halfway through the sermon and saying it real loud. The triple threat position is watchfulness, to be awake. How do you stay awake? Be willing. Say, be in a spirit and a mind and a heart all day, every moment of, Lord, send me. Even when you don't feel like it, Lord, send me. Use me in this moment. Make sure you're getting intentional spiritual rest, that you're making time to listen. Even if it's 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes before you go to bed, you make time to just go to that prayer closet and listen. And then finally, beyond those two things, is be willing to take risk. Because the Lord will be with you. Lo, unto all of the days, He will be with you. And He will not abandon you. And there's so much hurting, there's so much pain around us that the Lord needs us to be ready. He needs us to be awake and willing and rested up spiritually and then willing to take risk. And the kingdom of God will unfold around us. It will. Now, that won't mean there won't be disappointments, there won't be fires to put out, there won't be things that have people hurt us and we hurt others unintentionally, but slowly the kingdom of God, Jesus says, it grows like a mustard seed, it grows up and the branches branch out and birds come and light upon it. The kingdom of God will unfold in our lives. Stay strong, stay committed, and stay in the stance of wakefulness, and the Lord will bless our lives. Let's pray together. Father, so good to be in your house this morning and among your people, and what a way for Mark to indicate to us what happens before we meet the crowds, that we do have to cross over and we do have to be prayed up and we do have to be willing to take risk. And Lord, may we take that step out and face those who are hurting in our midst, which is our right service to do before you. And we'll give you in these things all the praise and the glory now and forever. Amen. Amen.